Good morning. So we double parsha this week. We'll look at the first one. We have Vayakel and Pekudeh. We'll start right at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, page 516. So again, we've been hearing for the last few weeks about the details of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, all the Kelim, all the different vessels, the Big Day Kahuna. We still in a little bit of the Chita Egel last week, unfortunately. And now we're back by Yaakel and Pekudeh. We're back once again to the building of the Mishkan. The Torah says, "Vayakel Moshe Eskodas B'nei Yisrael," and Moshe gathers the nation, the assembly of the Jewish people. "Vayomer Alehem," and he says to them, "Eile Hadivarim Asher Tiva Hashem Masososam." These are the things that Hashem has commanded you to do. So figure out, first of all, is why Vayakel? What was the point of gathering them? That's not the usual. When Moshe has to speak to Bnei Yisrael, it doesn't usually say before in Vayakel Moshe that he gathered them together. It starts out talking. Either they were there or they weren't there. But here it sounds like there was some specific reason that Moshe gathered Bnei Yisrael together. And he says to them, Ela Devarim, something, these are the things in the plural. So to figure out what those things are. Presumably, in the context, he's going to be telling them about the Mishkan. But as we'll see shortly, That's not so clear. And right away Moshe starts, Sheshes Yomim Teyasem Melacha, for 6 days you should do work. Uvayom HaShviyi, and on the seventh day, Yiyeh Lachem Kodesh, it should be holy Shabbos, Shabboson Hashem, a Shabbos for Hashem. Kol Osev Melacha Yimas, anybody who violates the Shabbos, does work on Shabbos, will be put to death. Lo Tzeva Arueish, B'chom Moshe Sechem, Yom HaShabbos, you cannot kindle, you cannot light a fire in anywhere that you live on the day of Shabbos. And then, Vayom Moshe Kodas Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Zad Varsher Tzivu Hashem Lemor, Kechum Eichem Tshuma, and then we have a listing off for the next long while of the Mishkan. So it seems very strange why Shabbos is suddenly, a very short snippet about Shabbos is suddenly, stuffed in here by Moshe right before going back to the Mishkan. The Mishkan has been the topic throughout. Clearly Moshe wants to reiterate why that is a different interesting question. Why the repetition? But Moshe wants to go through again the details of the Mishkan, and yet he throws in Shabbos. Why throw in Shabbos smack in the middle? What's this relationship that seems to exist between Shabbos and Mishkan? And the truth is, it's not the first time that it's happened. It happened in last week's parsha. Also, he talked about the Mishkan, and then it said, "Atas Shabsosai Tishmorum." What's interesting about in last week's parsha is that it was in the opposite order. First, he relates the message. First, Hashem tells Moshe about the Mishkan, and then he says, "But you have to keep Shabbos." And here, when Moshe tells it over to Bnei Yisrael, first he says Shabbos, and then he says Mishkan. So why would Moshe flip? Clip those things. So that's what we'll try to, most of what we'll try to understand. Again, the first question was Vayakel Moshe, why is Moshe gathering the people? Why is he gathering them together? The Ibn Ezra says that the purpose of gathering them together was for what's going to follow in Pasuk Hey and the other Pasukim of Kum Eitchem Tshumal Hashem. He wants to encourage everybody to give to the donations to the process of building the Mishkan. So what's the most effective way? So Moshe figures, if I directly, as the respected leader of Bnei Yisrael, if I make the appeal to the masses, then it's more likely that they're going to respond generously and they're going to give to the Mishkan. So Moshe gathers them together, everybody's here right now, and then Moshe himself is going to make that appeal to try and get everybody to make these donations to the Mishkan. If that's the case, then it's even stranger that he then throws in Shabbos before the appeal. Why, if the purpose was of the Vayakel was really the fundraising, so why throw in Shabbos? The Or HaChaim says that it really has to do with the end of last week's parsha. At the end of last week's parsha, after Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, the Torah tells us that Moshe's face was glowing. And his face was very bright, and they were scared. and he ended up having to cover up his face. The Arachaim says that whatever the people were gathered together before, and they had scattered out of the fear of this holy light, this holy glow that was coming from Moshe. So Moshe, now that he had himself covered up, had to regather the people together. So it has nothing to do with essentially this being a different message than any other message, but for practical reasons, and maybe he had everybody there before and had this event of scaring some of the people off not taking place, then it wouldn't have been necessary for the Torah to say Vayakel Moshe. But since they were scared off by the glow of Moshe, so now when Moshe has to go back to talking to the people, teaching the people the Torah, then he needed to gather them together once again. And just parenthetically, I saw last week, I mentioned it on Lasei Shabbos, that the learning for the children, it's interesting that the Torah says in Pasuk Lamed last week, it says Vayar Arom Chol Bnei Yisrael Moshe V'nei Karan Or Panav Vayiru Migeshes Eilav. They saw that his face was aglow and they were scared to go in front of Moshe. Then it says, "Vayikra lihem Moshe, vayashuv elav Aron v'chol ha'asim b'adav, vayidaber Moshe lihem." Then Moshe spoke to the people, "V'achrichei nigshu kol bnei Yisrael, vayitaveh meis kol asher diber Hashem ito bar Sinai." And then Moshe taught them all the Torah. He taught them what he had learned from Hashem in Har Sinai. And then the next pasuk, "Vayichal Moshe midaber ito." Moshe finished talking to them. Then vayitena panav masveh. Then he covered up his face. So what happened? If they were so scared initially and he needed to teach them the Torah, so he should have covered up his face right away. So why does he teach the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and then cover up his face afterwards? So Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his drashos that the only time where the Kedusha that was coming from Moshe Rabbeinu had this fearful, intimidating effect on Bnei Yisrael was when they were at their regular lives, when they were just going about their business. But in the context of Limud HaTorah, when they were actually receiving the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, so the power of learning Torah is such that it can raise a person up to be on the level where they could even withstand this Kedusha that they were witnessing from Moshe Rabbeinu. So once Moshe saw that they were scared, so then Moshe starts teaching them the Torah, then everybody's okay. Once he concludes what he was teaching them, then Moshe realizes that once again they're going to have this fear of this of the Kedusha that's coming from Moshe, and then he has to cover it up. But that's the power of Limud HaTorah, is that learning Torah can bring one to the level where you can be that close to Moshe Rabbeinu that it's not so intimidating. Okay, that was a parenthetical point. And others learn, which is probably the simplest understanding, is that again, if Vayakel Moshe is gathering them together, and we see that he's teaching two things, one that doesn't seem to belong, right, Shabbos and Mishkan, so maybe the reason that he gathered them together was because of the Hilchos Shabbos that he needed to teach, more than the Mishkan, so maybe it was necessary for everybody, it was necessary for, maybe the women hadn't been present, maybe he was only talking to the men before, and you need all of Klal Yisrael, but he's coming to talk, the Hilchos Shabbos is something which relates to everybody 100% across the board. So now when Moshe is coming, again, we don't understand why he's teaching Shabbos right now. That's the main issue we're going to try to grapple with and try to understand. But now that Moshe is gathering everybody together for the purpose of Shabbos, and okay, he's also going to teach you on Mishkan, but that's the reason that why here he needed to say Vayakel Moshe, that Moshe specifically gathered them together. And if that's the case, then what's the Eila HaDvarim in the plural? It's these two things. It's Shabbos and Mishkan. Right? There are two things that Moshe is teaching. We would have thought that he's only going to be teaching about Mishkan, but he throws in Shabbos. But we shouldn't think that the two are completely unrelated. He's teaching specifically together both the Mishkan and Shabbos. Which I guess brings us to the main issue, which is what exactly is this relationship between Shabbos and the Mishkan? Why are they juxtaposed here and also in Kisisa? Why does Moshe change the order? So there are a few things that we know about the relationship between Shabbos and Mishkan. So one thing that we know is that there are 39 malachos that are forbidden on Shabbos, 39 categories of work on Shabbos that are forbidden, and they are derived from the 39 types of work that were done in constructing the Mishkan. And, how exactly which avodos of the Mishkan is a little bit of a machlokas Rishonim, but the Gemara already says that we derive the malachos from the Mishkan. The Gemara even says about two, I think, quotes it here, that there's a hint to it in this pasuk. It says, Eila hadvarim. The gematria of Eila is 36. Dvarim is plural, so it's more than one, so that's two. 36 and two is 38. And it's hadvarim. Why do I need to add the hey? The hey is to say that there's something else in addition. So if you add that all together, again, it's just a hint. That's not the main drasha. But again, even in this very context, is the hint to the fact that we have 39 categories of malacha. And it goes even deeper than that, which is that again, there are many halachos that apply to Shabbos that we don't have in other contexts when it comes to the intent that's necessary for a malacha to be forbidden on Shabbos. And where are these different aspects of Hilchos Shabbos learned from? It's learned from what the Torah says, Malachas Machshavas. It has to be a thought out malacha. It has to be something which is calculated, a calculated creative work. And where does it say Malachas Machshavas? It says Malachas Machshavas by the Mishkan. So not only are the categories of malacha learned out from the Mishkan, but the fact that they have to be something that you intend to do creative work, malachas machshavas asra Torah, that the Torah specifically forbade, again, on a deraisa level, the Rabbanan oftentimes built a fence, even in certain cases where the kavan is less, but they, again, fundamentally, the Mishkan and Shabbos have this relationship where everything which is prohibited on Shabbos and the way in which it's prohibited on Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan. So what's this connection between Shabbos and Mishkan? So there are some that say that there really isn't much of a connection other than that between Shabbos and Mishkan, and the only reason that Shabbos is mentioned here is because of the Chet HaEgel. Had it not been for the Chet HaEgel, we would not have had to mention Shabbos here. What's the connection between Shabbos and the Chet HaEgel? So the Gemara tells us that anybody who shomer Shabbos kados, anybody who fulfills and keeps Shabbos properly, is mochlin lo kol avonosav. Shabbos has a special skula, not in the skula, red band that doesn't make any sense type skula, but a real skula has the power. The power is built into Shabbos that if somebody keeps Shabbos properly, then all of his sins are forgiven. Why is that true? Probably because Shabbos is a testimony about the most basic fact that Hashem created the world and rested on the Shabbos. So there's sort of a shortcut built in that somebody who can, you know, tap into that type of emunah, so Hashem gives him will grant mechila on the person's avonos. So after Klal Yisrael has gone through the Chet HaEgel, so the ways in which they certainly need to find channels for atonement. So one of those channels is through Shabbos, and that's why Shabbos is mentioned here. There's an interesting word I tell over some of the Shabbos table. In Zmiros, it says, in Baruch Kalelion, I often don't think about the Zmiros, there's a lot in the Zmiros. It says, Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kados Mechalalo, Hein Hechsher Chivas Kodesh Goro. Anybody who shomer Shabbos properly, his lot is the same as Chivas Kodesh. So we're going to explain what Chivas Kodesh means, but again, some of the author of the poet is comparing Shmir Shabbos and Chivas Kodesh, and we need to figure out the connections. What's the din of Chivas Kodesh? The halacha of Chivas Kodesh is that things can't be mekabel tuma unless they reach a certain level of significance. So if you have a stick and lying around, that stick, if something touches the stick doesn't become tame, because all it is a stick. It has no significance to it. If you take that stick and turn it into the leg of a chair, and now it's a real kli. So the fact that it's part of a larger vessel, which is functional, now if something touches that chair, the chair can become tame. So that's the general idea of something which is something can only become tame once it reaches a certain level of significance. There's a special halacha that in the context of mikdash, because of chibas kodesh, because everything in the mikdash is so special, is that things which normally wouldn't be able to be mekabel tuma, they're not significant enough, maybe even like the wood which is going to be used in the context of the fires in the Beis HaMikdash. So wood alone normally would not be Mekabel Tumah. Because it's going to be used in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, that in and of itself gives it significance. And that's the halakha of Chibas Kodesh, that it's going to be used for something which is Kodesh, that makes it something which can now be Mekabel Tumah. So again, the idea of Chibas Kodesh is that things that aren't normally able to be Mekabel Tumah, because they're in the context of Mikdash, because they're being used for something holy in the base of Mikdash, they're elevated to a status where they can now be Mekabel Tumah. So I saw once, that's what the poet wants to say here as well, is that the idea of Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kadosh Mechalos, somebody who's Shomer Shabbos properly has the same lot as Chibas Kodesh, is based on this Gemara. That the Gemara says somebody who's Shomer Shabbos properly is Mochlin Lokol Avonosav, has all of his sins forgiven. Does he deserve to have all of his sins forgiven? Not technically, but it's a shortcut that Hashem built in. So that's exactly what the poet is saying, is that anybody who Shomer Shabbos properly has the same lot as Chibas Kodesh, meaning the same way when it comes to things in the Beis HaMikdash that aren't normally on the level of being able to be Mekabel Tumah, because it's in the context of the Beis HaMikdash that elevates its status, Shabbos has the same power also. Even if a person doesn't deserve to have his sins forgiven, because the person who Shomer Shabbos properly, that elevates the person, Shabbos elevates the person, and now the person can have his sins forgiven. Okay, interesting aside. But that's one understanding of why the Shabbos is mentioned here. It's not because there's this fundamental connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, but rather because it's coming after the Chet HaEgel. But most do understand that there's a more fundamental relationship between Shabbos and Mishkan. So again, still to understand that relationship, but one other thing that we had asked is why here is it reversed? When Hashem tells Moshe about Mishkan and Shabbos, he first teaches him about Mishkan, and then he teaches him about Shabbos. And now when Moshe is telling it to Bnei Yisrael, he reverses it, and first he tells them about Shabbos, and then he tells them about Mishkan. So why would that be? So there's a medrash that says, one medrash says like this, B'shah she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe ma'aseh ha'mishkan, when Hashem taught Moshe about the Mishkan, t'chila amar l'mishkan, achar kach tzivav l'Shabbos. First he taught him about the Mishkan, and then he taught him about Shabbos. Lama, why? She'goloi v'yadu l'ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Moshe, she'hu mishamer es ha'Shabbos. Because Hashem knows about Moshe that he keeps Shabbos, v'ficha chiktim lo ma'aseh ha'mishkan. So therefore, teaching him about Shabbos wasn't as essential. He already knows that Moshe himself knows about Shabbos, so therefore he tells first Moshe about Mishkan, and then afterwards tells him about Shabbos. Umoshe ha'yodeh b'hem b'Yisrael she'esh b'hem anashim kalim, and Moshe knew that there were those in Israel, well, since they're not as knowledgeable. Amar imani omer lahem Mishkan tchila yiyuhim osim b'Shabbos u'b'chol b'ficha chiktim v'izhiyun ala Shabbos tchila. He says that if people that don't know so much about Shabbos or don't know about Mishkan, so if I teach them first about Mishkan, they're going to assume that Mishkan overrides Shabbos. And then they'll come to build the base on the Mishkan, both on Shabbos and on Chol. Therefore, he's going to tell them about the Chol, about Shabbos first. And we'll have to understand that point a little bit better momentarily. But the Kli Yakar says something similar to what we saw a few weeks ago about something. I don't remember what we saw about, somebody will remind me. But we had this concept a few weeks ago. It says that it has to do with who was the one who was speaking. He says, that the Mishkan was being built for the kavod of Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael, again, if you assume like Rashi, I mean, that's what we were talking about with the Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, about why I have Mishkan, I'm not sure. But the Mishkan was being built as a way of Hashem showing that I'm going to give you, after the what happened with the Chet HaEgel, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a special place at which to serve me. And it's a place where Hashem is going to come down and put his Shechina there, sort of as a kapara for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem, in order to show the kavod of Klal Yisrael, comes before his kavod of the Shabbos, which is the day which is dedicated for him. He talks about Mishkan, and then he talks about Mishkan, and then he talks about Shabbos. But now when Moshe is talking, so when Moshe is talking to Klal Yisrael, so then the focus is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The focus should be on the fact that we have Shabbos first for Hashem, and also Hashem gave us the opportunity to have Mishkan for us. So again, each one, it was similar whenever we said it, which I don't remember when, we mentioned the comparison that we made was to Hashem's tefillin and to the tefillin of Am Yisrael, like the Gemara says. That in the tefillin of Am Yisrael, it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, because that's the relationship with Hashem that we want to reflect. When it comes to the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the Gemara tells us that it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachar Baruch. It talks about the praises of Klal Yisrael, because each one is concerned. I think you find the same thing, actually, with Yotzei Haggadah now. When it comes to Pesach also, when Hashem refers to, when we refer to it in the Torah, it's always referred to as Chag HaMatzos. And when we refer to it in Chazal, it's always referred to as Chag HaPesach. So both are true, both are commemorating events that happen, but again, when Hashem is talking, he's almost always referred to as Chag HaMatzos. Somebody points out that it's because Hashem wants to show that the part which was special from his perspective was not that he was skipped over the houses of the Jews, but it was that Bnei Yisrael left in such a rush to in order to leave that it was the Chag HaMatzos. It was the fact that Bnei Yisrael made the Matzos. But when Bnei Yisrael are talking about what their relationship is with Hashem through Pesach, so they focus on the Chag HaPesach because Hashem saved us by passing over our houses. So again, the same idea, again, this relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with each side wanting to focus on the side which makes the other stand out more. Okay, but the Medrash said, and then really Rashi says this as well, which is why we have to try and figure this out. The Rashi says, Sheshes Yamim, in Pasuk Beis, Hiktim Lohem Azharas Shabbos Etziva Melachas HaMishkan. Why does Shabbos come before Mishkan, like the Medrash just told us? Lomar Tehicha She'eino Dochas HaShabbos. That you're not allowed, that Shabbos is not pushed, that Mishkan, Shabbos is not pushed aside in order to build the Mishkan. You're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And the question is, why would we think that we again are having a special drasha to teach us that you're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos? So it sounds like we would have assumed, had the Torah not told us this, that you would be allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And the question is, why? Okay, the only context in which we know that Shabbos is pushed aside is for Pikuach Nefesh. And that's learned out. But why would we think that building the Mishkan would push aside Shabbos, and then the Torah has to come along and teach us this special drasha that no, in fact, it's not the case. Really, Shabbos beats out Mishkan. So the Midrash explains with the mashal. Let's see if we understand how well we understand the mashal. But the Midrash says like this. What's the relationship between Mishkan and Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Alo Bavodas HaMishkan HaKasim Medaber Omayin Yin Shabbos Eitzel Mishkan. What's this connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan that they're juxtaposed constantly in here in particular? El Moshin Oso Mashal. I'll give you a Mashal, says the Medrash. Lema Adavar Domer, what's it similar to? Lemelech Shehoye Lo Apachapas. The king who has a, somebody who's taking care of his assets for him or and doing things for him. Tziva so amalach ba'amar lo ba'asei li paltorin. Build for me a nice palace, somewhere nice for me. Ba'asei li bo kach v'kach alios, and you should make a certain number of stories. He gave him the blueprint how he wants this palace that he's supposed to build to look. V'hiskin lo bo kach v'kach kelim, and put the following vessels inside of it. And then he did it, and this person who was sent by the king for this mission of building, this contractor, whoever it was, the architect, was doing it with he was very happy about doing this. He had this opportunity to build this special thing, and he did it quickly and worked hard on it. His wife, I guess, comes in front of him, Amra lo, and says to him, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, V'achashivusa sheli eina tamazgir, and my significance, you don't, in terms of this building, you don't do anything which is to honor me. Miyad nifna la HaMelech v'asa la simcha l'atzma. I guess he was saying, you know, you're so happy about your palace, you know, you're forgetting about me. No, I think made a special simcha, you know, special celebration just to celebrate her. Okay, so what's the nimshal? Kach. Kevan jetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe al asiyas haMishkan. Once Hashem commanded Moshe about the Mishkan, and now he's being told that we're going to build the Mishkan. Amra Shabbos lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shabbos, who's the, in the mashal is the wife, comes in front of Hashem and says, Ribono Shel Olam, Baras Osi Misheshes Mei Bereshes, you created me Shabbos. I've been in existence from the beginning of time, from the seventh day of creation, from the beginning of creation. V'kidashto Osi, and you sanctified me. Achsha Moshe Mazias Bnei Yisrael Aliskei Mishkan, and now Bnei Yisrael are being commanded and they're involved with building the Mishkan. Ushmin Atamazkir, and you don't remember, and everybody was forgetting about Shabbos. We have this, Bnei Yisrael are being given this new way to relate to Hashem through the Mishkan. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to Shabbos? Shema Meirov Chibosan She Yisrael Basias HaMishkan Yechalalu Osi. Maybe out of the excitement and out of the joy of building the Mishkan, Shabbos says to Hashem, they're going to come to desecrate the Shabbos. Miyad nifna la Kadosh Baruch Hu v'amar la Moshe. So right away Hashem says to Moshe, Ksov parsha l'Shabbos b'soch meleches haMishkan. Include a parsha, a mention of Shabbos right in the middle of the building of the Mishkan. She'ein binyana docha lo es haShabbos v'lo es Yom Tov. So that everybody should realize that building the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. So, I mean, the Medrash doesn't fully explain, so it sounds almost from the Medrash that it wasn't that there was a real reason to think that Shabbos should be pushed aside for the Mishkan, but rather out of the excitement for building the Mishkan, maybe they would forget about Shabbos. So they needed a reminder. So again, it wasn't that without this, Bnei Yisrael would have... It would have been legitimate to say that building the Mishkan overrides Shabbos. Rather, Bnei Yisrael need to be reminded, because they're so involved, they may come to justify to themselves inappropriately and think that Mishkan overrides Shabbos, and they'll come to be Mechal Shabbos for the Binyan HaMishkan. So that's one way to understand, which again makes it at least a little bit better, is that, because it is hard to come up, what should this reason be? Why should it be that Shabbos is pushed aside by Mishkan? So the Medrash says that, no, it never was supposed to be, but again, Hashem wanted to remind Bnei Yisrael about Kedushas Shabbos. The Abarbanel sort of takes this concept but takes it a step further. And he says, I think, and he certainly doesn't quote the Medrash, but it seems to be working off a similar concept. Meaning the same way that the Medrash is saying that Shabbos, you know, had this feeling sort of that Bnei Yisrael would forget about it, the only reason for such a feeling to exist is because somehow through Mishkan, something similar to what we experience through Shabbos takes place. If the two have nothing to do with each other, then there'd be no reason to think that one should that one should override the other. But once it's a, as we'll see, maybe a vehicle to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shabbos is also a vehicle to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then if I'm involved in one way of relating to Hashem, so why should this other way of relating to Hashem override this one? They're both, you know, equally valid methods of reaching to Hashem. So the Bar Benel says, since Hashem commanded about building the Mishkan, building all the vessels of Mishkan, what's the Mishkan all about? What's all these Kelim all about? It's about creating a relationship, creating a dwelling place for the Shekhinah within Bnei Yisrael. It's about creating a deepened relationship with Hashem. So somebody might actually think maybe this goes beyond everything else. Again, Hashem gives us mitzvos, but if I have one mitzvah, which the mitzvah itself is to create a way of relating to Hashem, a new way for the Shekhinah to be Shoram, so that overrides all the other mitzvos, because again, all the mitzvos are about somehow creating that relationship. We don't see it as directly. This is the most direct link that we're creating between ourselves and between Hashem, so this should override everything else. The kosher came as shvisa b'shabbos, and certainly it should override resting on Shabbos. Why? L'fisha shleimos kol davar hu b'pu'aloso, because the completeness of something is most clearly seen by action. That ma'isu yoser shalom as shvisa d'amenucha says, if you have two different ways of relating to Hashem to accomplish the same thing, one of them is by doing something active, and one of them is by sitting by passively, then certainly the active relationship with Hashem seems to override the passive one. So if Shabbos is about refraining, it's about showing our relationship with Hashem by refraining from halacha, and Mishkan is about creating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by actively doing something, so then Mishkan should override Shabbos. So the Bar Benel is taking a step further and trying to really explain what the rationale for Bnei Yisrael would be to think that that Mishkan overrides Shabbos. V'ulayim yifnei zeh, maybe because of this, Yavo Yisrael lachshov, Bnei Yisrael will come to think, Shemelechas haMishkan tidchas haShabbos. That building the Mishkan should override Shabbos, and you should be allowed to do it on Shabbos. Mitzuraf elayos haMaisa Yoser made al amunan vashayoyed alav abito, vashvisa min amalacha, kemaisa yifnei again. Reiterating the same point, that doing something which shows our relationship and shows the Amunah of Hashem should override something which is passive. He says it's not only that, it's that the Mishkan can accomplish everything Shabbos was meant to do. If Shabbos is about showing that Hashem runs the world, Hashem created the world, the Mishkan is accomplishing the same thing. You're making a place for Hashem Shekhinah in the world. That's basically the same idea of the testimony that we're giving by keeping Shabbos, that Hashem created the world. So again, if they're so similar, and it's an active way of relating to Hashem, so that should override. The one that started all the Shvisa, you wouldn't need this. You wouldn't need the rest of Shabbos. L'hoyer al-davar z'atmo, l'hinei b'nei z'el, mar Hashem l'moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, she'yomar l'Yisrael, that you should tell b'nei Yisrael, ach Hashem sosar d'shmaru. No, don't think that the building of the Mishkan is going to override Shabbos. It's on a lomar, im hayos melechus ha-mishkan davar kodosh b'nechbo defanai. Although the building of the Mishkan is something which is very significant in front of me, in mekolda tolo titzko the Shabbos v'ponav al tishmirosa, but you should still keep the Shabbos. So you need to understand, so what was wrong about the Hava Amina of Bnei Yisrael? Meaning, what is this pasuk coming to teach us? What did Bnei Yisrael miscalculate? Hashem is telling them that they're wrong, and that in fact, when you come to a battle between Shabbos and Mishkan, that Shabbos is going to win, but it hasn't explained to us why that should be the case. We need to understand what's Hashem teaching us about the nature of Shabbos and the nature of Mishkan. So hopefully we'll get back to that point shortly. There's one other justification for Bnei Yisrael thinking that Mishkan would override Shabbos, and it will lead us to a very interesting point. And that is that in the very same parsha, the next pasuk, right in pasuk Gimel, says, Lo tzivaru esh b'chomos v'osechem on Shabbos. You can't kindle a fire b'chomos v'osechem in all your dwellings on Shabbos. Chazal learns out that only in your dwellings you're not allowed to kindle. In the Beis Hamikdash, in the Avoda, the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen on the Kohen in the context of Avoda of bringing karbanos is allowed to violate the Shabbos in the Mishkan. So many of the first point that, well, that may be a reason. If they know that you're allowed to do the avoda, you're allowed to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, you're allowed to bring karbanos, you have to shech the karbanos on Shabbos, which is a malacha, you're allowed to do that in the Mishkan. So that would seem to indicate that Mishkan overrides Shabbos. And therefore they would say, okay, so it's not just the bringing of the karbanos, but it's the actual building of the Mishkan as well. And that would be the rationale for Bnei Yisrael in thinking that Mishkan should override Shabbos. Then Hashem has to tell them, no, that's not the case. We need to understand that, but it brings up a very strange paradox between the relationship between Mishkan and Shabbos, right? On the one hand, where do we know the malachos of Shabbos from? We learn the malachos of Shabbos from the Mishkan. So we need Mishkan to teach us the malachos of Shabbos. Then we see that Shabbos overrides the Mishkan in terms of building the Mishkan, and yet in the actual Mishkan, Mishkan overrides Shabbos. So which one is it? There's like this constant tension. We need Mishkan as the source for the malachos of Shabbos. Shabbos then overrides Mishkan in the construction, and then in the actual Mikdash, now Mikdash or Mishkan overrides Shabbos, and the Kohen is allowed to do the Avoda. So there's this very strange relationship that exists between Shabbos and between Shabbos and Mishkan.
Can I just question, while they were building the Mishkan, were they keeping Shabbos?
Presumably, after Matan Torah, as long as once they got the Torah, they were keeping Shabbos already. So So again, how do they figure all the malachos? Okay, or Moshe knew what was necessary for the building of the Mishkan, perhaps even before it was built, and therefore could give that over. But they certainly should have been keeping Shabbos. So again, it's a very strange relationship between Shabbos and Mishkan. So I think there are two ideas that emerge. I think one, just if you break it all down, it seems to be what comes out. And then I think one is just maybe a little bit more fundamental in terms of the idea that emerges. If you put all that together, what seems to come out is that you have this connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, both being vehicles for Kedusha and relationship with Hashem. But what we see is that the only time that we see that Mishkan is a more powerful connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Avoda in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash overrides Shabbos. But apparently, Hachana, preparation for Avoda, is not the same as Avoda itself. We oftentimes try to create and equate the preparation for the mitzvah with the mitzvah itself. And here we're seeing that's not true. And that's why we need Shabbos and Mishkan to have this connection in terms of defining the malacha on Shabbos. But only when it comes to the actual avoda of bringing the korbanos in an already functioning and standing Mishkan, does the Mishkan beat out Shabbos. But in terms of building a Mishkan, in terms of creating that place in which the avoda can then be done, it's not the case. The preparation for a mitzvah is not the same thing as the mitzvah itself. It's an important aspect, it's a necessary requirement in order to be able to reach that point. But we can't try to equate the two because they're not the same. Preparing for a mitzvah and doing the mitzvah itself, as exciting as it might be to prepare the mitzvah, it's only when it's the actual performance of the mitzvah that is the elevated performance. And therefore, it's specifically in the context of Mikdash that once the Mikdash is functioning, that's when Bnei Yisrael are able to violate Shabbos for the purpose of Avoda. And the Meshech Chachma says this very, very clearly. He even takes it a step further. He says that binyan hamishkan v'hamikdash lo dachi Shabbos to kol zman de lo nivne hamikdash, because as long as the mikdash isn't built, ain hashchina shorav Yisrael. The shchina isn't there yet. The shchina comes once the Beit Hamikdash is built. The kol zman shein shchina shorav Yisrael halolo nitcha Shabbos. If Shabbos is also about relating to the shchina on Shabbos, so then making something for which the Shechina can later come is not the same thing as relating to the Shechina directly. And therefore, Shabbos will beat out the creation of a Makom of Ashuras HaShechina. And then he says, and I think we mentioned this once before, he connects it to the Egel. About Kodam Shalosu B'nei Yisrael HaEgel, before B'nei Yisrael built the Egel, Ha'isar Shechina Shora B'Yisrael Shalob themselves HaMishkan. Then, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, they didn't need the Mishkan to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least according to Rashi. Why? As the pasuk says, "B'chol mokom asher azkir Hashemi, avoy lacha ve'achticha." We were able to relate to Hashem on the same level in which we can later relate to Him in the Mishkan from anywhere, because that's the way Hashem created the world. It was only after the Chet Egel that things changed. So this halacha of the binyan beis hamikdash not being docha Shabbos is really something which applies after the Chet Egel. Once they've been Yisrael, and that's why it's listed here, is that once Bnei Yisrael have sinned with the Chet Egel, halo lo hayu ruim the kvod Hashem isbarach rafa emsos hamishkan. The only way to get the Shechina to come down is through the Mishkan. Im kein lo nitche Shabbos v'binyan Mishkan l'chein nemar Shabbos kodem. And he explains that's why here it says Shabbos first, and there it said Shabbos afterwards, because the pasuk where Hashem told it to Moshe was before the Chet Egel, and before the Chet Egel, Shabbos would have been beaten out by Mishkan. Again, you figure out what the purpose of the Mishkan would have been in such a world. But the idea being that it's only when you need the construction of the Mikdash to get the Shechina to come down, that's when Shabbos is more significant, because Shabbos is already where the Shechina is present, so you don't push aside the Shabbos for something which will later bring the Shechina. Mashain came, what's not the case when it comes to afterwards, when they're trying to get the Shechina to come down. The other idea that I thought perhaps, and based on something that I once saw from the Rav, I don't think he was saying this exact thing. If he did, then I'd be very happy, but I don't want to pin it on him in case it's not the case. But again, what's the idea? We have Mishkan and Shabbos, and both of them are about our places of Kedusha, but it's different types of Kedusha. Like Shabbos is a Kedushas Hazman, it's a sanctification of the time. And Mikdash is a sanctification of Makom. It's a Kedushas HaMakom. It's a sanctification of the particular place. This is a place at which we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps the idea that this halacha is teaching us, and what Hashem was teaching us, again, even according to the Medrash, that Shabbos, that we need to be reminded that Shabbos overrides Mishkan, and yet we saw in this paradox that it doesn't in the Mishkan, that doesn't in the context of the Mikdash, is that there's a difference between life outside of the Mishkan and life inside the Mishkan. And that it's almost two different planes. There's the normal way of living, which is the way that we're required to live outside of the Mishkan. And that life that we live outside of the Mishkan is a life which revolves around Kedushas HaZman. It's a realizing that there's significance to every moment, but it's realizing fundamentally that we have Shabbos, and Shabbos is built in because Shabbos is the source of, Shabbos reflects on everything that we do. It's through the fact that we stop on Shabbos from everything else that we're doing that shows that everything that we were doing was also part of our Avodas Hashem. When we were working during the week, it wasn't just for us, but it's because Hashem said you should work for 6 days, and on the seventh day you should rest. If you don't stop to rest on Shabbos, so then that just shows that everything is just being done for yourself. Shabbat is what gives our lives special meaning. And it's that Kedushas Hazman, which is something, and that taking a break for Shabbat, which is something that's supposed to be relating the normal way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The intensity of the relationship of Mikdash was taken away from Kal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, and apparently that's not the way we're supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. That's not the ideal way of relating to Hashem on a minute-to-minute basis. Is there a significance to Mishkan? Absolutely. And we have Aliyah L'Regel. And we want the Beis HaMikdash to come. We want to have the opportunity to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Mikdash. And when you're in the Mikdash, when you have that place of Asheras HaShchina, so then you're living in a completely different, it's almost like a completely different world. It's like a world above everything else. And in that type of relationship, so then the Kedusha, the fact that you're in a place which has such a level of Kedusha, that overrides the Kedusha Sazman. And that's why in the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Beis HaMikdash can override Shabbos. But that's something which is unique to Mikdash. That's not something which is the way that we're expected to live on the, you know, the minute-to-minute, the day-to-day basis. But that's something that we yearn for, to have that place where we can go, where we can recharge, where we can appreciate the Kedusha Samakom. But the Kedusha Sazman, what Shabbos is about, and what the Torah is teaching us here, by sticking Shabbos into the context of Mishkan, is that we are given the opportunity, when we don't have the Mikdash, to still have a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Kedusha, and that relationship is so fundamental that when any time you're not even in building the Mikdash and creating Kedusha Samakam, being careful with the sanctity of time overrides that also. It's only when you have, when you're inside the Mikdash itself, so that's a different world. When you're outside, you have to live the life of the world, and living the life of the world means engaging the world, it means being involved in the world 6 days a week, and it also means taking the time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means making sure that Shabbos is a time which is infused with Kedusha, because it's the Kedusha of Shabbos which affects the rest of the which affects the rest of the week. And maybe that's the idea, again, in terms of trying to solve a little bit this this riddle that exists. That you had the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, and Mishkan can teach us what the melachos are in Shabbos, because both of them are ways of creating a relationship of Kedusha, of holiness, with Hashem. But in the creation of the Mikdash, it's the Kedushas Hazman. When you're not in the Mikdash itself, when you're living the life outside the Mikdash, the day-to-day life that we're forced to live now without a Beis HaMikdash, so then the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, even for building the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't override Shabbos. Because it's the Kedushas Hazman, that's part of the natural order, that's the way we're supposed to be living our lives, and we're supposed to take that Kedusha of Shabbos and let it infuse everything else that we're doing. And it's only once we're in the context of Mikdash that the rules change. In the context of Mikdash, so then the Kohen is allowed to violate Shabbos, because in the Kedusha Samakam is so powerful that we don't need that Kedusha Sazman. But again, that's not the way that we're expected to be living our lives, you know, constantly, but that's the way of, you know, when we can get that, that recharge our spiritual batteries and get that infusion of Kedusha Samakam, that you have the opportunity to even have a Kedusha which can override Shabbos. Hopefully the Zechus of Shabbos, we know, is also connected to Mikdash. The Gemara tells us that if Bnei Yisrael are Shomer two Shabbosos in a row, so then that leads to Binyan HaMikdash. Again, because this very idea, if we appreciate Kedusha Sazman, then hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back to Kedusha Samakom.